The white hats can never let up in the drive to stay ahead of cyber mischief makers. That's why the Cybersecurity Research Alliance is teaming up with academic institutions. It wants to solve some of the big cyber and physical security problems. Lee Holcomb is Deputy of Technical Operations at Lockheed Martin's Information Systems and Global Solutions and President of the Alliance, and he joins us now. Lee, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, so tell us about this program. Who's involved? What is it you're hoping to solve, the Alliance working with these universities?
Sure. Really, the objective is to improve the security of cyber-physical systems. When you think of cyber-physical systems, it's everyday systems, your automobile, your transportation to and from work, medical systems, the smart grid. These are all cyber-physical systems. CSRA has teamed up with two leading academic institutions, George Mason University and Drexel University, to take a hard look at a number of the key issues related to protecting cyber-physical systems, to understand, if you will, roots of trust, how you can establish true trust that there is assurance that the correct operations are being done in that cyber-physical system.
So tell us a little bit about how you hope to break ground in this area of trust in the cyber-physical.
Well, a couple of things that we want to do are very fundamental, and these come out of a workshop that we had jointly, CSRA, conducted with NIST here in Gaithersburg about a year ago, really looking at things like, what are common terms that are used across cyber-physical systems? How do we get different cyber-physical system communities, people that work on the smart grid, folks who work on secure automobiles, folks who look at medical devices, how do we get them to talk with the same language? Secondly, what are some of the most promising research approaches to provide end-to-end security in cyber-physical systems? And we just kicked off this research task with the two universities, with the Cybersecurity Research Alliance members. We have five core members for CSRA, and we've just added two more. So there are seven members of our alliance at the moment.
And how does this all tie into the work that NIST is doing together with Homeland Security to try to share information and set up a framework, if you will, for a cybersecurity as it applies to the physical world?
Well, I think it's it relates very closely. We've recently actually been asked by NIST to chair one of their key cyber-physical systems working groups to help define these terms and conditions. So we're working hand in hand with NIST and everything that we're doing at the moment. I think that the key issue here is to provide all folks that are in the industry with good solutions to secure those systems, to provide strong roots of trust for cyber-physical systems. And I think more importantly, what we bring to the table is a commercial perspective on the economic viability of the approaches. A lot of approaches have been tried in the past, and they don't really get deployed because they're not economically viable. They're just too expensive. People are not willing to pay that amount of money for security, unfortunately. And so what we're looking for are those solutions that are economically viable and affordable.
And when you look at these industries that you mentioned medical devices and transportation, what do you think the biggest barrier is right now to advancements in this cyber-physical realm? I mean, I'm thinking, for example, of cars that drive themselves. Of course, that's a key area. What has been the biggest challenge? Is it the economic viability of these initiatives, or is it something else?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. First of all, I think certainly solutions that are viable economically is really important. But the other thing is that just very simple architectural frameworks have not been used in automobiles and in smart grid. There are things that you can do to essentially isolate critical control functions from kind of more personalized sorts of things. So in an automobile, you talk to your Bluetooth and get into your music and other types of applications that you have in the car, you'd like to isolate those from the controller. And how you do that is more an architectural issue. It's not expensive in many cases as much as it is good design principles. And so we hope to bring these common design principles into the field. And the same is true, obviously, in the medical device community.
We're speaking with Lee Holcomb. He's Deputy of Technical Operations at Lockheed Martin Information Systems and also President of the Cybersecurity Research Alliance. And you mentioned there are a couple of new corporate commercial members. Who are some of the big people besides Lockheed involved in this? And that gives us some idea of what industries are covered here.
Sure. Actually, what's interesting about our membership is that we cover the whole ecosystem. So at the hardware and chip level, we have AMD and Intel and Cypress, which all produce electronics. You know, at the software area, we have RSA and Honeywell, and at the systems integration level, we have Lockheed Martin and also Hewlett Packard. So we really kind of span from individual devices all the way up to the full integration of the system. And I think that ecosystem-wide view is important, because if you look at just one of those pieces in the overall solution, you tend to get a point solution and not an integrated solution.
And given your industry expertise and your industry members, this sounds like primarily a research initiative, but are you also looking at scaling up some of the more promising things down the line?
So our perspective is to both make sure that we guide the research so that the research produces results that can be turned into commercial viability products. And also, the other activity that we're doing is helping to facilitate the transition of that research into a final product. But the actual product itself, you know, will be produced by individual companies and it may be members of our alliance, or it could be general folks who take the results and apply it. And it's those two functions that we're really looking at, making sure that we have good research that can be turned into practical products, and then making sure that it's positioned to be deployed commercially in the industry.
And on that note, you mentioned something earlier about the architectural approach needing to be taken by, you know, automobile makers and so forth. There's another trend. Maybe this is far-fetched, but I wonder if it's something you're going to be looking at. More and more systems are being controlled using mobile devices like tablets and so forth. So is some of the research going to be focused on making sure that the apps inside of those devices are somehow secured and isolated from the rest of the device, so that it can be used safely to control a much larger system?
Yeah. I think you raise an important issue, and there's kind of a thin line between mobile devices and cyber-physical systems, and that line's getting blurred, you know, as we move forward. You know, certainly our research will begin to apply over there in the mobile device area, although initially our focus is in more what I'd call more the traditional cyber-physical systems, but over time, many of the architectural issues that we're describing for conventional cyber-physical systems will be applicable as you move into the mobile system. You see it today in mobile devices with containers where you can, you know, basically isolate part of the mobile device and put it in a container to make sure that it's locked down and more secure. Those types of architectural approaches certainly apply going forward.
And which federal agencies are watching these developments most closely? Because I think this could, you know, if you're successful, several will want to use whatever you create.
Well, we work very closely with the so-called NIDRD group. This is the R&D coordination group across the federal government. Specific agencies that we've talked to very closely and we are in discussions with potential collaboration include, of course, DHS, which has a key function in this area. We've talked a lot with the Department of Energy and also the National Science Foundation in particular, and NSA is on our board of advisors, and we have been talking closely with them. And I mentioned earlier, of course, we have been working closely through this whole period with NIST, and in particular their cyber physical systems division that Chris Greer heads up has worked very closely with us.
Do you expect Treasury or maybe the Secret Service, which used to be Treasury, to come into this because of the cyber physical issues happening in the financial sector? Look what happened, you know, at Target with those card readers. I think it was somehow that was a nobody realized that they could be used to hack into much larger systems.
We've had some discussions about moving into that particular area. Some of our members, RSA in particular, have and HP have footprints in the financial area, and certainly understand some of the challenges in that area. That's a dimension that we in the future will be looking at. We've had some discussions at an informal level with Secret Service.